So we're getting ready for our trip. We're writing up all our talks. We wrote one talk for our satsangs at the missions, which we'll send out to everyone who lives on Kauai, so you can also get it. I didn't want to read it this morning. It's on resolving matters. It's basically what it's on. It praises everyone for following the first two steps in karma management so well. Refraining from retaliation, accepting responsibility. But it says, in general, we could do better at the third step, which is forgiving the offender. And this applies to any situation which causes hard feelings, which isn't resolved. Good friends, one friend insults another, and instead of resolving the matter, they stop seeing one another. Typical example of not resolving a problem. Whereas Gurudeva says, when something like that happens, you need to resolve it. You need to smooth it out so all the pranas are harmonized between those involved. So, of course, this doesn't always happen. But it's important that it does happen. So it gives some advice on that subject. So we'll send that out to everyone on Kauai as well. We have a talk for the Arngetram, 10-minute talk on 4 points in common between studying Bharatanatyam and pursuing the spiritual path. Got that one. Nice talk for the Dharmasala for Ganesha Chaturthi and Mauritius. Ganesha Chaturthi is a public holiday. So lots of people come to the Dharmasala. We're told last year, they think some 5,000 people were there. Yeah, 5,000 people, that's a lot. So talk, of course, is in English, translated into Creole. So we have to send it over right away so it gets into Creole. So it's on My Friend Lord Ganesha is the general topic. It's the same talk, slightly modified, that I gave in Penang last year, which focuses on Ganesha as a real being and gives examples. It talks about Gurudeva's statement, you know, some people say Lord Ganesha is just a symbol, but to me he's a real being and I've seen him, and talks about the milk miracle and asks people to raise their hand who saw the milk miracle where Ganesha was drinking milk. Many people saw that, and of course that shows the reality of it, right? Something happened, there's something there, something's real. Milk was drunk. So even though you haven't had a vision of Ganesha, you experienced his reality through the miracle of drinking milk. So that's for the Dharmasala. Then we have a public talk at a Tamil temple in a city I can't pronounce. Ends in an X. Beautiful French name. And that's on God Shiva as the Supreme Being. And Shiva performing all five actions and goes through creator, preserver, destroyer, veiler, and revealer. And relates them to the names Tapurusha, Gaurava, Vamadeva, Sajyojata, so on. So talks about God as love. God is the perfect parent, and so forth. The best way to think about God Shiva is he's the perfect parent. You know, you've heard me talk about that. Mother and father. He's our parent because he created our soul. And he's perfect because he always loves us, no matter what we do. Love always flows out, like the perfect parent always loves the child, no matter what ridiculous thing the child has done. The love doesn't stop. So that's that one. And we're going to Malaysia, and the mission talk is the same. Of course, the mission talk is given in Mauritius. Another event, and in Malaysia, we have a book release. We finished the hardcover edition of Dancing with Shiva, softcover as well, for the bookstores. So we're going to release the entire trilogy, and give copies of the hardcover books, all three of them, to key VIPs in the country, such as the head of the Malaysia Hindu Sangham, president of the Selangor Saivite Association, and so forth. And it's a book signing event. So we also have finished a pocketbook edition of Dancing with Shiva, real small one, and inexpensive, and probably will sell a lot of those. We printed 5,000 of those. 1,000 are going to Singapore. And that's in Klang. And the talk is drawn on a future pub desk. So it's in unedited form at the present moment. It's called I Want to See God is the name of it. Suggestions on Where and How to Look is the subtitle. Yeah, it's a nice talk. It starts out with the story of Swami Vivekananda. You know, you've heard me tell that story, going to see Ramakrishna. He used to go around and give all the Swamis a hard time, you know. Have you seen God? Have you seen God? They would say no. And he asked Ramakrishna, of course, have you seen God? And Ramakrishna's answer is something like, of course I've seen God, and he's more real to me than you are. And he's as real as an apple on the palm of the hand. And you can see God too. That's what he told him on the second time he met Ramakrishna. So that convinced him that Ramakrishna was his guru. Then it goes on through Gurudeva's traditional ways of seeing God. In a holy man is the easiest place. And in that, looking deeply into the eyes of another person, Uyakuyir, God is the life of life. Then it goes into in the temple, through the energy that comes through the murti, we can feel God's presence in the temple through the sacred energy, particularly on auspicious days. And then in meditation, we can experience God within. So those are all the different ways Gurudeva gives us that we can experience God. And of course, experiencing God is a central point in the Hindu religion, whereas in some religions, just belief in God is the whole religion. You don't believe in God? You believe in God? Okay, that's it. We're done with this religion. We believe in God. Hinduism, belief in God is just the first step toward experiencing God. So, like that. And so it's a fun talk in future pub desk. And then we have a nice chance. Let's say it the other way. In Malaysia, we're there like a whole week almost, I think, so we're able to meet privately with all the family, something we haven't done on recent trips. So we're in a nice hotel with a big room, be able to meet families for 20 minutes, go through all the church families as well as some who are quite near membership and some new students. And then we have a Kumbhabhishekam in Ulu Barong, Ganesha Temple, Jyotishwarar's Temple. On Sunday morning, 7 o'clock, we have a short talk on Ganesha for that. And then we fly off to Singapore. And get there Sunday night. And Monday night and Tuesday night, we have talks. So it's going to be a longer version. They want an hour talk, which is a long time for me, an hour talk. So I'm going to take the I Want to See God talk and lengthen it, which has yet to be done. The other talks are all written. But Singapore, which is roughly 2 weeks away, isn't finished yet. So I have to add like two more sections to the talk to get it up to an hour long. So I'm thinking something like self-concept. You know, it starts out about seeing God. And, of course, prerequisite for that is the right self-concept. You know, if we have a negative self-concept about ourselves, I'm an unworthy person, or, you know, all of that stuff. We have to work through the self-concept. I'm a worthy person, I'm a divine being, and then the essence of my divinity is God. You know, the three positive forms of self-image that we take us through on merging with Shiva, probably that's going to be the second topic. And then third topic might be happiness. That's a nice one. Three ways of being happy. I think that's the current pub desk, the one that's just coming out. Gurudev is favorite one, which is, if you want to be happy, simply make other people happy. It's that simple. Unhappiness is simply like stagnant water. You know, water that's standing still. Happiness is like flowing water. So unhappiness is like stagnant energy. Happiness is like flowing energy. So when you're stagnant, it means you're self-centered. You're all wrapped up in yourself, or you're wrapped up in yourself too much, at least. That's what's making you unhappy. You're thinking about yourself. Your energy is not flowing. So how do you get out of that mood? By thinking about other people and making them happy. If a monk wants to be happy, what's he do? He cooks cookies for the whole monastery. Right? That's a great way to become happy, and makes everybody else happy, and that makes you happier. Lots of happiness. That's a simple example. You know, when you do something for somebody else. And it's the one thing you don't want to do. I'm going to stay home and be unhappy. You just don't want to get out and mix with other people and make them happy. It's just exactly what you don't want to do, but it's exactly what you should do, of course. So that's a wonderful guideline from Gurudeva on happiness. And then in addition to that, we have two other guidelines, which is uplifting ourselves through temple worship. We can come to the temple, and if we're kind of sad and all, in our tradition, the worship of Lord Ganesha is particularly important. Ganesha is seated in the Muladhara chakra, and if we're unhappy, we're below that chakra. So if we can worship Ganesha and attune ourselves to his Shakti, we come up in consciousness. And happiness is, of course, related to our state of consciousness. So the first one is called the service way, seva. Happiness through service. The second one is happiness through devotion. And the third one, of course, is happiness through meditation. We can make ourselves very happy through getting the energy up into the higher chakras through meditation. And that's really super happiness called bliss. Yoga Swami says, bliss, 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 here, there, everywhere am I. Right? Ananda. So that's the kind of happiness we can achieve through meditation. But all three methods are useful and have a place in life. You don't want to meditate. Again, if you're unhappy, you don't want to meditate. You don't want to go to the temple. You don't want to help others. You know, it's very interesting. You just want to stay unhappy. I want to be stagnant energy. Slightly slumped over, right? Unhappy. So, three different ways of becoming happy, and of course the whole, as you'll read in the Pub Desk, the whole premises is based upon being wise enough to overcome the conscious mind fallacy that I'll be happy if I acquire this. All I need is a new computer and I'll be happy. If I get an A in class instead of a B, I'll be happy. You know, always something new to acquire will give you happiness. Whereas, of course, we know that if we get in that mode, true, it makes us happy, but how long does that last before we're unhappy again? You know, not very long. And one of the greatest fallacies is, oh, I'm so unhappy, but if I get married, I'll be happy. No, it doesn't work that way. You should be a happy person who wants to get married. Don't count on marriage making you happy if you're unhappy. It won't work that way. It'll wear off. Because happiness, anything external to us, even marriage, doesn't provide a lasting solution to our state of mind. Our state of mind is controlled by us. And learning how to be happy in all circumstances is really the essence of yoga. No matter what the external circumstances, if we have a hurricane and everything's a mess, doesn't change our state of mind. We lose our job, we're still happy. You know, we have that much control. Oh, it's my karma. Well, what do you know? how do I deal with it? If things go well, things go poorly, maintaining equanimity, maintaining the same amount of happiness, that's mind control or yoga, which is the goal. So that's all wrapped up in that pub desk. So I think we'll throw that in. Give me a third subject. I need three subjects to get through an hour talk. So that's the current plan. So have a wonderful phase, everyone.